Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Been watching the Olympics any? I know it's only been on a couple of days, but have you caught any of it yet? Yep. It's amazing what those guys can do, isn't it? And gals, not just the guys, but there are plenty of ladies who are doing amazing things as well. You know, they have put in a lot of work to get to where they are today. A lot of training has taken place in their lives. Some of them started when they were just little kids doing some of the stuff that they're doing. They've devoted years and years to it already. Today I want to talk about some training that we're doing. As Christians, we have training day in and day out as well. Things that we're learning, things that we're improving in, things that we're becoming more proficient at. God wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be holy. And he's training us each day how to do that. And I am so thankful that he is beside me all the way, helping us out. Today we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you for reading the scripture. That was excellent. I want to talk about something that we actually started talking about a few weeks ago whenever Michael was covering Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10, it says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, what I want to talk about today is the last part of verse 10, that we should walk in them. God has prepared good works for us to walk in. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the training it takes for us to walk in that. But I want us to remember the first part of the passage as well. Because if we don't remember the first part, we'll never accomplish the last part. It is by grace that we walk. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. Nothing that we have done, it says, nothing in the works, not our works, so that we can't boast. It's God's workmanship in us. So as we look, take this journey today, keep in mind that this is a walk of grace. Because as I begin to share things with you, it's going to begin to sound like I'm laying down the law. And this is what you've got to do to be doing it right. And we know how great we are at following laws, aren't we? Not too. At least I'm not. I just took a trip to Texas. And some of the speed limits down there are ridiculous. But I had to go 3 or 4 or 5 miles faster anyway, you know, but so just to get there. And, well, you know, the policemen would watch me drive by, so I guess they weren't too worried about it at any rate. But I'm not good at following laws sometimes. And so I don't want this to be a law type of sermon. This is not law. This is still grace. We walk in grace. If we don't walk in grace, we aren't going to accomplish what God asks us to accomplish. And if you're like me, whenever I'm trying to do something and I can't accomplish it, I get frustrated. I want to be able to do this. And I can't do it. And I get aggravated sometimes, you know. And So I'm working on something out on the farm and it doesn't work right. And I typically don't throw wrenches. I typically don't swear, but I still get mad. I get aggravated at the process. And so sometimes our walk, our Christian walk, can become frustrating as well. And so today I want to look at some things that will help us prepare to take this walk, and also some things to help us not get frustrated. And so we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 12, and it's already been read, but I'm going to read the first two verses especially here, because we're going to be looking at a lot of what we're going to talk about. And it says, therefore, and of course, you know, if you've sat under Michael for a while, when he reads therefore, he says what? What's it there for, right? Yeah, sure. So we have to look back what came before here just a little bit to see what the therefore is for. The writer of Hebrews has been going through a process of showing the Jews that he's writing to how much better the covenant under Jesus is than the covenant they had under the law. And he's taken 10 chapters previous to prove his point, how much better Jesus is, how much better the grace that we receive and we walk in is than the law that the Jews lived under. In chapter 11, he starts describing people who have been faithful. It's called the faith chapter. And he's talking about all these people down through the years who have been faithful, who have been following God and walking as closely as they could in the path that he laid out before them. And so we come to verse 1, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so the first thing I want us to remember is that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The Jews had those people in chapter 11 that they looked up to. Many of them, they could have told you the whole story about that person that the writer of Hebrews wrote about. And so they had these people they could look to, and they said, boy, these are faithful people. We want to be like them. And so you and I have the cloud of witnesses that surrounds us as well. We have people who have shared the good news with us, be that parents or grandparents, friends, pastors, elders, Sunday school teachers. You've had someone who has shared the good news with you. And that is your cloud of witnesses. Someone who's there, maybe even now, to help you, to encourage you. If you need help, you know someone you can go to and you can say, hey, I need some help. And they're there to help you and encourage you. You know, those are important for us. And we need to remember that we have those people, not to forget them when we get in times of stress and times of trouble. Remember, they're around. They're more than willing to help out. Secondly, we need to lay aside the weight that we have, that we're carrying. You can't run a race. You could practice, but you can't run the race very well with extra weights on. You don't do nearly as well as if you get rid of all the extra weight. You know, if you look at the swimmers and the guys who are running track and the ladies, they've gotten rid of just about all the weight they can get rid of. If they get rid of any more weight, they'll be too exposed, that's for sure. Okay, so you understand what I'm talking about. We're getting rid of weight in the process, cutting down on the things that will interfere with our ability to run the race. Sometimes we get distracted with things. Sometimes things catch our attention and we are not focusing where we need to be focusing. We lose the goal that's in front of us. A lot of things can distract us. Family can distract us. Entertainment can distract us. Jobs can distract us. Debt has a way of distracting us and getting us off somewhere where we shouldn't be, you know, necessarily. And I'm not saying that we can't enjoy life and we can't be in debt and those kind of things. But I'm saying that sometimes we can get obsessed with those things. And when we get obsessed with those things, we can be distracted from our walk with Jesus. So that's number two. Number three, let's get rid of the sin that's in our lives as well. Ouch. I don't know about you. And remember, I'm generally not up here. I'm generally out there too. And I'm being talked to. And so I'm being talked to just as much right now as you are. There are times that we have sins that we don't want to get rid of. Sins that we enjoy and we don't want to get rid of them. I've been there, done that. It's easier to run the race without that weight, too. We need to get rid of those kind of things. You know, it's not easy to do. You can't do it on your own either. David wrote in Psalm 139 and verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." David understood that there were things in his heart, not only things that he knew about, but things that he didn't even know about, that were keeping him separated from God. And he said, "God, search my heart. Expose those things and help me to get rid of them." Now, he didn't say, "Search my heart, God, show me what they are, and I will get rid of them." He didn't say that. He said, "Search my heart, show me what they are, help me. Help me, because I can't do it myself." It's really what he's saying. So that's another thing that we need to do. The last thing is we need to keep looking to Jesus. It says there's this great cloud of witnesses, and because they are there, let's get rid of the weight and the sin that so easily bothers us and distracts us. And looking to Jesus, let's run the race. Okay, so you remember Peter walking on the water? He was doing a great job to begin with, wasn't he? Where was he looking? At Jesus. He was looking at Jesus. Whenever he quit looking at Jesus, what happened? Oh, he was going down, wasn't he? Yeah, for sure. So it is with us. We need to focus on Jesus. We need to be looking to Jesus. If we want to be like him, what better than to look at him and see what he's like and let him make that in us as well. We can't do it without looking to Jesus. And I really appreciate the fact that the writer of Hebrews here reminds us of what we just looked at in Ephesians chapter 2, that it's not us, because it says Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, that's probably not what it just said up there, because that's probably more King James or something. It's the way I've heard it all my life. So, but anyway, but it's still the same. He's the one who began our faith. He is the one who will finish our faith. Are we a participant? Yes, we are. We are a participant in this walk because it says we are to walk in it, right? Now, if we were not a participant, it would probably just say, sit there or lay down, you know. But it says we are to walk in the good works that God has created for us. And so we are a participant, hopefully a willing participant. That's where we really need to be, is a willing participant in this walk, so that we can follow him as closely as possible. And in Ephesians, another place in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, which we just studied here recently as well, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her." having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Jesus, still that author and finisher of our faith, but he's also the one who sanctifies us. You know, we have been justified by faith. Grace has saved us. And now we are going through the process of sanctification, becoming more like him. And as we are sanctified, we need to remember it's still a walk of grace. Jesus is the one who sanctifies us as well. We are a participant and a willing participant in it, but we aren't doing it in and of our own will, not our own strength. If we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we will never be what God wants us to be. We need him at work in us. Okay, so there are those four things that we need to remember as we are preparing to run the race. Remember that we are surrounded by a group of people who really want to encourage us. They are there for us. They are there to cheer us on. We need to lay aside the things that are distracting us. We need to get rid of the sin. Most importantly, we need to focus on Jesus. We need to be looking to our Savior for the guidance that we need. Okay, now that we've done the preparation, we get to the point where sometimes we get discouraged. We get discouraged because we don't always do what we know we ought to be doing, don't you? If you're like me, you don't anyway. I don't always do what I know I should be doing. And I look at that at times and I just think, shake my head and say, how many times have we been here already? You know, surely, Lord, we're going to get over this eventually. And I get frustrated, just like I do working on those things out on the farm, you know, at times. And I still don't throw the Bible or say things necessarily that I shouldn't be saying, but I get angry and I get frustrated. And I want to be doing what's right. And yet, I still don't do it all the time. What I want us to realize is this is a process of training. And whenever you train, you don't always do things right the first time. We'll get to more of that in just a little bit. Let's look at the verses that follow from 3 through 15. And since it's been read, I'm not going to read the whole thing again. But we did in the other two services, but it's already been read here, so I'm not going to read it. But we will refer to some of it. And you will have the opportunity to look at that. The first thing we need to do, and the first thing it talks about, is that we need to consider the endurance that Jesus had. Think just for a moment what he went through for you and me. Before he ever got on that cross, he was beat up. And once he got on the cross, had those nails driven in his hands and his feet, and struggled to breathe. It wasn't easy, was it? And yet, the writer of Hebrews says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. He endured it for you and for me. And he goes on and says, hey, you haven't struggled to the point of shedding your blood yet. But consider the endurance Jesus had, what he put up with. And why did he put up with it? Because he loves you and me. He loved you and me enough to go through all of that. If we look back at verse 2, it says, for the joy is set before him. He endured all of this. The joy was knowing that you and I would have salvation if he had endured it. He went through it all so that we could be saved. Praise the Lord for that. Because I do enjoy being in a relationship with him. It's good. Okay, second thing, we need to accept the discipline that God gives us. It talks about discipline. That's what most of the rest of that passage was about, was the discipline that we are going through. And it says that it's for our good. Wait a minute. When I was a kid, Mom and Dad had to get on me a few times. You know, not very often, of course, but a few times, occasionally. If you listen to my mother, who was delusional at times, apparently, she said, us four boys never gave her a moment of trouble. That was not true. But anyway, love her for it. She was good at putting up with us, that's for sure. But every once in a while, you know, things don't go right when you're a kid and you get in a little discipline situation. And those situations generally are not necessarily pleasant, are they? No. Somebody's talked about the tree dying because so many switches got pulled off of it, you know, but I don't know who that was, but it wasn't in my family. There was no tree that died in my yard. But every once in a while, we get a little discipline as we're kids, you know, and we don't necessarily enjoy it, but we know it's for our good, or at least after a few years we do. Maybe not right then. You know, it's something that we have endured. We've grown up. Most of us have become adults. Some of us haven't, but we try. You know, but it's something that we have gone through. So discipline is for our good, but also it's evidence that God loves us. If we looked a few verses down the farther, it says, if you are a son, generic word, son, okay. I know in today's day and age that if we say son, we don't necessarily think it means daughter too. But it does here in the word. It means either or. Okay, it's a child. If you're a child of God, you're going to be disciplined, it says, because God disciplines those children that he loves. And if you're not being disciplined, he says, then you're not really a child of mine. You're illegitimate. So it's a sign that God loves us. Praise the Lord. I want to be loved. So I guess I need to accept the discipline along with it. And then again, a little later on, it says that discipline, when it's accomplished, yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's where we're headed, isn't it? That's where we want to be. We want to be righteous in God's eyes. We want to be holy like he is holy. And so that's why we need to accept the discipline of the Lord, because it's for our good. He loves us. And it's going to yield what we're looking for. Question. How many of you could walk when you were born? Pretty safe to say none of us could we? Day two? Could you walk on day two? You know, I don't know why we can't. I've got cattle. Calf's born within 15 minutes. If everything's going right, this calf is up, getting something to eat. Not us humans. We don't work that way, do we? Takes us a while. Takes us pretty much basically a year before we're going to walk, give or take. And even then, it takes us a while to learn to do it properly, doesn't it? Most of us don't actually remember that first step that we took. But those of you who have children, I'll bet you remember the first steps that they took. You can remember holding them, and mom or dad would be holding them, and the other one would be standing off a couple steps away, you know, and say, come on, come on. And they'd take that first step. And when they took that first step, what did we do? Hey, out of the way, good job, excellent. You know, and what did they do as soon as they took that first step? You know, down on the ground. And yet we didn't say, come on, dude, get up off the ground. You can do better than that. No, we were excited because they took that first step. And that's the way it is with our relationship with God. God's excited when we take those steps in the right direction. He loves it when we follow Him. And for you and I, we have those people around us who are cheering us on in the process as well, encouraging us to do what God's called us to do. We have the Holy Spirit as a coach. He's there, willing to show us what it is that He wants and how it's supposed to be done. He's encouraging us on as well. And then we have the Father. You know where the Father's at? He's standing up here saying, come on. Come on. You can do it. Take that first step. And when you take that first step, you know what God's doing? He is applauding as well. He is excited that we are walking towards Him, moving in the direction that He's calling us to. That's where He wants us. He wants us walking in His footsteps. Because you can't do it on your own. And after you try and try and try and try so many times, and you fail and fail and fail and fail so many times, what do? You give up. You get bitter. I cannot do this. I'm just giving up, throwing up my hands. I think that's what it's talking about here. I think what it's saying is, be sure that everyone obtains the grace of God. Because if we obtain the grace of God and we walk in the grace of God, whenever we don't do everything just right, we know that God's grace is covering us. And we know that He's going to help us up, just like Mom and Dad did. And we may take that first step again, and we might even take a second step. And eventually, we'll be running the race that He's talking about. But we can't do it on our own. We need the grace of God at work in our lives. Praise God for the grace of God. We are willing participants. And if we aren't participating, then things are going to go the wrong way. That's for sure. A.W. Tozer wrote in his book, The Root of Righteousness, this passage, acknowledging that it takes work to keep things going the right way. He says, every farmer knows the hunger of the wilderness, that hunger which no modern farm machinery, no improved agricultural methods can ever quite destroy. No matter how well prepared the soil, how well kept the fences, how carefully painted the buildings, let the owner neglect for a while his prized and valued acres, and they will revert to the wild and be swallowed up by the jungle or wasteland. The bias of nature is toward the wilderness, never toward the fruitful field. How many of you find that to be true in your garden? If you have a garden, I find it to be true in my fields. If you don't take care of them, it won't be long before you can't even drive a tractor through them. I was telling First Service, and Tom Wombles was in First Service, and he's the one who actually did it for me. 5 years ago, I had a pasture that had so many trees and it just growing up everywhere, and I wanted them cleaned out so that the cows could graze on the grass that was around, and so I had him push it out. And I had the very, very, very best intentions of going out there and mowing that pasture every year, keeping it down. 5 years later, it hasn't seen a mower yet, and I have thorn trees about that big around. If we aren't diligent, if we aren't being trained by God, if we aren't following Him, the same thing will happen in our spiritual lives. We will deteriorate back to the same thing we were before we knew Jesus. You don't want that. I don't want that in my life. So we need to have some diligence in following Jesus. It's not our work. Still, it's His work in us. But we are a willing participant, one who is willing to take the steps that He puts before us.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School off for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.